Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's announcement last week of new tariffs going into effect next month has analysts wondering what's ahead for financial markets and for consumers. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
30% on the European Union and Mexico that go into effect on August 1st. Both are slamming the move, saying they were in active negotiations with the U.S. The EU is warning that this will harm consumers and businesses on both sides of the Atlantic.
Today marks 1 year since the assassination attempt on then-candidate Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. One man was killed in that shooting, 50-year-old Corey Comparator. His family on Saturday held a nearly 50-mile motorcycle ride, followed by a day-long celebration. As the search continues for victims of the Texas flooding, the Associated Press reports that FEMA removed dozens of buildings at the camp from its 100-year flood map before that camp expanded. At least 28 people affiliated with Camp Mystic have died. This is ABC News. The Air Pilots Association of India is criticizing the preliminary report on last month's deadly Air India crash that killed more than 260 people on board. ABC's Lama Hassan has more on the report.
New questions about why both control switches that provide the engines with fuel were turned off about 3 seconds into the flight and turned back on about 10 seconds later. New images from the aftermath do show those fuel control switches firmly in the run position, but it was too late. The engines failed to regain thrust.
The Pilots Association said the report was unsigned and not transparent. Iga Świątek became the first ever Polish player to win Wimbledon. She routed American Amanda Anisimova 6-love, 6-love in Saturday's final. She's now a six-time major champion. Today it's the men's final, defending champ Carlos Alcaraz and world number one Jannik Sinner in a rematch of their epic French Open final last month. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Wisconsin's agriculture industry could see both wins and losses under the new federal budget. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Climate change isn't a priority for the Trump administration, so the new budget redirects funds for farm conservation initiatives. Chuck Anderis with the Michael Fields Agriculture Institute says it lacks investments in key areas like technical assistance to help farmers implement conservation measures. Anderis predicts the gutted support and incentives that will go to large farms that need it the least will weaken conservation efforts and could have long-term implications.
And so you're having more runoff and more nitrates in the drinking water, but then you're also having birth defects in babies from the nitrates in the drinking water, and you're having huge medical costs beyond the devastating effects to human health from that.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin's new state budget does include some funding for programs that incentivize farmers to use conservation practices and reduce nitrogen pollution. And Dara says this kind of investment will help prevent flood damage, improve water quality, and make agriculture systems more resilient, all of which affect public health. As part of their agenda to curb government fraud and waste, the Trump administration has slashed staffing at agencies like the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. The new budget proposes cutting nearly one-third of additional staff, and Dara says that agency provides critical technical assistance to farmers, and the lack of support will create barriers for farmers who rely on its guidance. He adds the new federal budget also redirects Biden-era conservation funds that hadn't yet been used away from practices that would reduce greenhouse gas emissions on farms. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Air quality concerns for today, thanks to areas of smoke drifting in from the northwest. Otherwise, look for quite a bit of sunshine. Southwest winds of 5 to 15 and highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, a shower or storm, lows in the mid and upper 60s. Currently 59 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's right. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Posts. Shop now at cause-cart.shop. And search Native Roots to find your resist gear. Pini Gigi to everybody supporting.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we have Arvina Martin on of Emerge Wisconsin. And so it'll be an all Ho-Chunk show today. And we're always really happy to have Arvina on and chew the fat and talk about what's happening locally. And of course, you know, we're on Civic Media all across Wisconsin, and it's great to have the Wisconsin update from Arvina, even though we don't like the Packers, Jaleesa.
I have to say, yep, Vikings fan here.
Exactly. On that note, we see Arvina is in the bullpen. Let's bring her up right away because we have a lot to talk about. Welcome, Arvina Martin, Emerge Wisconsin. Ho-wa.
And Packer shareholder.
Oh, good to know. I have to say, Arvina, I have a lot of respect, though, because I actually went to Lambeau Field and watched the Vikings-Packers game, and we did win. But I also have a lot of respect for Lambeau Field and the organization.
Yeah, yeah. It was the first thing I did with my per cap when I turned 18.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, so the rest of it went to college.
Nice.
Well, I did. I went to the Packer Field last year too for the first time, and was really impressed. Yeah. We were in a suite, and really impressed with what was happening. I miss outdoor football big time. I was brought up at the old Met, where we loved seeing those old California teams come in, you know, December and January, and we beat them up bad.
Yeah, the first Packer game I actually, so when I was a kid, the Packers used to play preseason games at like one preseason game at Camp Randall, the stadium in Madison for the University of Wisconsin. And we would go to that preseason game and Packer tickets are notoriously hard to get a hold of. Hold on, you know, I didn't put my daughter on the season ticket holder list when she was born. So at 16, she's, you know, probably like if she were to get on the list now, she probably wouldn't ever make it to the top of the list. But the first game that I actually saw at Lambeau Field was a December game against the Bears, and it was cold. It was snowing. It was just smash mouth football. It was really fun. I had a blast, even though my toes were frozen.
So I have a question for you, Arvina. Do you hate the Bears more than the Vikings, or the Vikings more than the Bears, or is it an equal thing?
It's kind of an equal thing, although I have to, I mean, like, I kind of feel like the Bears have been so hapless and have just, you know, struggled so much that I'm making a face that I almost have some pity for them. So maybe I dislike them a little less, but you know, it's only because the Vikings are more competitive.
That was fun. And, you know, it was really fun, too. I posted a picture of Paul Molitor, and he's an old Cretan boy here a few blocks from my house. And I went to high school with Joe Maurer's mom and, and Jack Morris only went to Highland, which is right in, you know, a stone's throw away from me. And, of course, Dave Winfield went to the same high school I did. So we have these connections. But I took a selfie with Paul Molitor when I was at Target Field. And you're a big Paul Molitor fan.
I loved Paul Molitor when I was a kid. I definitely had a crush because he was so good. And you know, the 80s were a rough time to be a Wisconsin sports fan. You know, excepting the 82 World Series that the Brewers went to, I was only 2 years old then, so I don't remember that myself, but I remember being, you know, apparently during a softball game or a t-ball game, that we lost by tons, asked my dad, what does it feel like to win? And his little heart just broke because, you know, a Packer fan, Badger fan, Brewer fan, you know, just nobody was any good at the time. And so, you know, and like, even when the Packers kind of start looking like we're having, you know, a downward turn, I'm like, I remember the 80s. This isn't as bad as the 80s, you know. So I, you know, I think of it as a kind of, you know, like, I guess I'm not sure what I'm thinking of it as, but you know, it's, I can handle like a season or two of sucking, you know, as opposed to like 10 years.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I remember. Well, I'm at that age where I caught the last end of Lombardi and then the kind of the upswing of the Vikings for the next four Super Bowls that they lost. And so I was 17 or when the Vikings were in their last Super Bowl. But I got to say this is a trivia question. Who was the last NFL champion?
And
that was the Vikings in 1969.
Pre-Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Pre-Super Bowl.
And then the leagues merged.
Yep.
Gotcha.
That's all we got.
They probably didn't make the same kind of flashy rings for them back then either.
Right.
No, and it's funny too, the last Super Bowl the Vikings were on, again the halftime, and that was 78, the halftime presentation was the marching band still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't realize until maybe this year that that was kind of the standard Super Bowl halftime show until, you know, they did the In Living Color halftime show on Fox. And they said, everybody change the channel. We'll tell you when you can change it back to the game. And they did a live like halftime show. The year after that was when Michael Jackson came on.
Oh,
wow. And he stood there for like 5 minutes, like completely motionless and silent, and everybody was just screaming their heads off. And wow. That's how we got the, you know, the modern day Super Bowl halftime shows, which brought us the amazing Kendrick Lamar this year.
Yes, that was phenomenal. Speaking of Kendrick, I did his show here too. And I gotta say, my experience is as a little girl, I fell in love with Randy Moss and Chris Carter. So that's my background. And then to have them kind of coming back and Justin Jefferson beating all of Randy Moss's records is so cool.
I admit I did not care for Randy Moss.
A little wild.
Yes, I was not a fan, but you know, as we've both gotten older, I appreciate him. I'm glad that he beat cancer. So hooray, you know, and we're really glad to hear that.
Yes,
absolutely. So Arvina, were you old enough to remember the game at Lambeau Field where Randy pretended to moon everybody?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I heard that's because all of the Packers fans would do that to their bus.
That's so funny.
I don't know.
Remember the catch that Antonio Freeman made my senior year of college, watching in Hanover, New Hampshire, with all of my football-loving friends. They're saying, we want to watch up with Arvina. And I lost my mind when it hit his shoulder. He flipped over and ran it for a touchdown. One of my favorite sports moments.
Yay, I love it.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and it's a Ho-Chunk day here on Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back with Arvina Martin and Jaleesa McKee, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
That's right. Stay with us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, I do. Hey, we are here with our friend Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and co-host Jaleesa McKee here holding down the fort, but isn't it funny to hear all these old terms that really are really questionable, Arvina?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not one that I would think of. And then all of a sudden, when you were going to say it, then I was like, wait, the fort, do we really want to hang out there? Pull it down rather than tear it down from within?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of tearing it down within, we're going to talk a little bit of politics here. And I know this came up yesterday, but I want to talk about Ann Coulter for a moment.
Oh, Lord. I mean, she, you know, she is trying to bring herself back into the public eye. You know, she's kind of faded away. There's all of these, you know, MAGA and Trump affiliated folks like Laura Loomer and others who are, you know, getting the attention that I'm sure Ann Coulter wants. And she, is so callous to try to get that attention back by spouting inflammatory language and very hurtful things about Native people. And, you know, she is just a terrible human being, you know, and we now, because of her, have to deal with more people who think it's cool or edgy to say stuff like we should kill more Indians or we should have killed more Indians. And it's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, but it's also absolutely predictable that she would say something so outlandish and so just completely, asinine and horrible. Like, think of any negative adjective, you can put any of those on her statement. And it's just, you know, she can go back and sit in her, you know, probably gated community with security, and, you know, we have to deal with folks that listen to things like that and think of them as directives, not as as just some spouting off. And unfortunately, you know, with the rise of political violence coming from folks from the right, you know, it's not without potential consequences, and it's really dangerous to start saying things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just wanted to get your input on that. It's just, I think a lot of Native leaders across Turtle Island have commented on it, and it's just par for the course. And we talk a lot about this on Native Roots Radio, where Native Americans really are the holders of the word resist, because we've been resisting for 500 years, and we're kind of the experts. And this isn't anything new coming down the line. But it's also a little upsetting. I want to switch to another subject here, Arvina and Jaleesa. And that's, I thought MacArthur Park, the song MacArthur Park, was not a real place until a couple days ago.
Was it melting? Were there cakes?
Yeah, exactly. And they left it out in the rain. But yes. I just got to give props to the mayor of Los Angeles.
Oh, I didn't hear about what happened with MacArthur Park.
Well, ICE yesterday in MacArthur Park, which I didn't know was a real thing, ICE came in there with tanks, soldiers, and Fox News was there with cameras so they could really film this and promote this. And there was just kids playing soccer, and just put on this big performance thing and left, and it was a joke. But the mayor was there saying, "I want you out of here." Yeah. And so,
I mean,
Mayor Bass shows up and as the federal agents raid MacArthur Park and demands to speak to the official in charge and gets him out of there. So that was my kind of joke with MacArthur Park, is that she came down there and showed some leadership.
Yeah, I mean, and that is the shows the importance of paying attention to down ballot races. You know, while things at the top of the ticket did not go our way, or the way that we had hoped, we still, you know, have resistance in the forms of our state legislatures and state, you know, our governors, our attorneys general, you know, of our mayors and city councils, county boards, school boards. You know, they're all, you know, able to be part of this resistance and you know, the actions of Mayor Karen Bass definitely show that there, you know, people coming, the military, you know, presumably coming in with artillery, with tanks to intimidate Americans is decidedly un-American. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, one lesson that you can take from that is that we need to pay attention to those elections up and down the ballot, local, as hard as we do presidential, because, you know, the our leaders at the local or state level might be the ones that are the ones that can stand in the way of a lot of this, even if it's just procedurally, even if they're slowing things down. You know, that's important resistance, and an important part of our movement. So don't sleep on local elections, everybody. You know, I mean, and we can say that for tribal governments as well. You know, our president, John Green Deer, you know, when ICE raids were starting to pop up, you know, he stepped in and was like, we are going to get real IDs as our tribal IDs so that, you know, these are things that law enforcement can't ignore. And so leadership at every level is so important to this in order to keep us from being steamrolled.
Yeah, I agree. And John's a heck of a leader, and I can kind of talk about this now a little bit now that I'm not a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation, but being a former legislator this past 4 years, John is a great leader. And I wanted to say one thing. I'd been into Wisconsin, and we talked and joked in the beginning about Wisconsin, but I want to say I've been in Wisconsin more often than in many years. And I just got to give a big shout out to your governor for stopping a lot of crazy stuff. And that's what you're kind of talking about, Arvina.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and even to the extent of, you know, previously he would do veto, you know, like, you know, he could veto things within a budget or that, you know, you can get creative and cut out words, you know, and everything to kind of change the meaning of that. And he's done that for good purposes, to get more money to schools, to get more money to the people that need it. And for perpetuity, I believe that one of the edits that he made funding, you know, set into legislation for like 1,000 years because
I remember that. And that was awesome, because when you were talking about that first, I'm going, yeah, what was that? But that's what it was. He switched a couple words, and the Republicans voted for it because they weren't paying attention.
They were not happy that, you know, I'm pretty sure that went to the state Supreme Court. It went through that. It was okay. And, you know, it remains a tool of resistance, you know, and again, helps us be able to not just protect our people, but protect our values, and be able to live those values.
Well, we only got like a minute here left, and I would like to go back and just ask you about how did the governor and the Supreme Court, or maybe it was the Supreme Court, start working on the gerrymandering that's been happening in Wisconsin? And I know it's going to be better here in the next few years, but if we could remind our listeners and remind me too, I'd like to go back to that and how that happened on the next segment, Arvina.
Okay, yeah, let's talk gerrymandering.
Yeah, and it's funny too, saw our Supreme Court justice got sworn in, and I'm telling you, Tricia Zunker is should have been won that seat, and she did so well in that heavily gerrymandered area, but that's another discussion. But it just made me think when I saw her being sworn in as one of our Supreme Court members, that she did such a great job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We're getting into All Ho-Chunk Day. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's announcement last week of new tariffs going into effect next month has analysts wondering what's ahead for financial markets and for consumers. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
30% on the European Union and Mexico that go into effect on August 1st. Both are slamming the move, saying they were in active negotiations with the U.S. The EU is warning that this will harm consumers and businesses on both sides of the Atlantic.
Today marks 1 year since the assassination attempt on then-candidate Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. One man was killed in that shooting, 50-year-old Corey Comparator. His family on Saturday held a nearly 50-mile motorcycle ride, followed by a day-long celebration. As the search continues for victims of the Texas flooding, the Associated Press reports that FEMA removed dozens of buildings at the camp from its 100-year flood map before that camp expanded. At least 28 people affiliated with Camp Mystic have died. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers win a thriller.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers and Nationals wrap up their series here today. The crew with a thrilling 6-5 win over Washington last night. Milwaukee down 5-3, bottom of the ninth. Andrew Vaughn at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Finnegan deals. Vaughn, line drive.
Caleb Durbin later drove in Andrew Monasterio for the winning run. Manager Pat Murphy on the effort Monasterio has shown.
The great thing about having the right people, this kid every day says, I want to stay in the big leagues.
The Brewers have now won 6 in a row. The Nationals have lost 7 of their last 10.
I'm going to say, you got to keep your head up, you know, got to go back and do it again.
That's the Nationals manager Miguel Cairo with sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Air quality concerns for today, thanks to areas of smoke drifting in from the northwest. Otherwise, look for quite a bit of sunshine. Southwest winds of 5 to 15 and highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, a shower or storm, lows in the mid and upper 60s. Currently 59 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbro, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026 for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we love that group, and they support so many people, and we just love NACDI. And we have Robert Lilligren on Thursday, the CEO of Native American Community Development, on every Thursday. So looking forward to that. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, and she's CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking a few things. Arvina, welcome back, and could you remind me how this was gone down here in this last year or so?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know if I can like start there. I mean, like, we're going back decades that, you know, the first round of gerrymandering happened in 2011, and produced a state legislative map that was considered the most gerrymandered state legislative map in the country. And people really started, it took a lot of activism and a lot of work from groups like Law Forward, Fair Maps Wisconsin. The Attorney General Josh Call, once he was elected, there were a lot of claims, you know, about why the state legislative maps were unconstitutional. There were things related to the partisan gerrymandering. There was one claim about non-contiguity. So you can't have like islands that are separated and not touching, to be part of the same legislative district, et cetera. But last year, you know, part of it happened because of the change of the makeup of the state Supreme Court. When it was, the majority was held by conservatives, you know, they were like, nah, that's okay. But in 2024 rolled around and we had the progressive side has taken majority of the state Supreme Court, you know, they were able to take a look at this and actually apply the Constitution to the maps. It was ruled that those state legislative maps needed to be changed, and that the fall 2024 elections needed to be held using new maps, that the extremely gerrymandered districts were not to go to election. So that was a fun time, because, you know, the decision happened and what the maps were going to look like weren't actually solidified until kind of late and into what we call the signature period, the time period where candidates have to go and collect nomination signatures in order to get their name on the ballot. And so, you know, it was very hectic, and it was hard for people who wanted to run to know if they were, you know, what district they may be in. If they used one proposed map, they might be in District A, but proposed map B, you know, two, they would be in District B. It didn't leave a lot of time, but the changes were massive. I'm blanking on the total number, but Democrats picked up, you know, double digits number of seats in the state assembly. We have 99 seats in the state assembly. And, you know, before we were very close to having a veto-proof Republican majority. And so, you know, that definitely helped Democrats take away that kind of veto-proof majority, as well as picking up a couple of seats in the Senate. And our state Senate is such that senators are elected every 4 years, but they're staggered. So if you are in an even Senate district, you run during, you know, I can't remember which it is, but either presidential election years or gubernatorial midterm election years. And then the odd number district senators are their elections are in the other. We have half of our state Senate that needs to be that has not yet come up for election under these new maps. I think, you know, Democrats have a really strong chance of taking a trifecta, taking the majority in both houses of legislature, as well as hanging on to the state Supreme Court, as well as the governorship, which would be incredible. And we can stop a lot of this bleeding. You know, Wisconsin still has not accepted that federal Medicaid money because the Republican legislature won't allow us to. And, you know, we have people like Derek Van Orden trying to take away more money from Medicaid, and then saying, well, Governor Evers, you need to allocate more money to this, like it wasn't a problem that he himself created. So, you know, the ramifications of gerrymandering they're real. You know, and we are going to find districts that are a lot more moderate, and that, you know, even if Republicans win a lot of these seats, the chances of them being really extreme is less, because they know that to win and to represent that district, they're going to have to be more moderate. They're going to have to appeal to more than just that right-wing base.
You know, Arvina, it's interesting. Two things. I can say Protasiewicz, and that took me a long time. She was a guest and ran for the Supreme Court on Native Roots Radio. So, as you probably know, I can say this. I have trouble reading. But Protasiewicz was on the show, and I'm so happy that I can still say that, her name. And but also, when I was young, Wisconsin was a Democratic state. You know, it blows my mind.
I mean, if you go back to like 10 years, you know, or more even, Wisconsin and Minnesota were almost twinsies, you know, and had a lot of this, you know, statistics were similar. And since we've had this kind of Republican takeover and then the gerrymandering to protect that takeover, you know, Wisconsin has fallen in a lot of categories that are really important to the well-being of our state citizens and the folks that live here, you know, education, health, you name it. And we have a lot, you know, we as progressives, as Democrats, you know, are running to correct that and to get us back into that strong progressive history that we have, you know, the home of fighting Bob La Follette, you know, a progressive hero. And, you know, it's a lot of work, and there is so much damage that has been done, over the last decade, or two, that once, you know, Democrats do have more power, there's going to be a lot of cleanup, and cleaning up after Republicans.
Oh my God, you are not kidding. It's interesting too. I was thinking as you were talking too, Texas was a Democratic state when I was young too. And I remember there was a governor there. I can't remember her name, but I remember her saying, poor George Bush. He was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. And I'll never forget that. Ann Richards, I guess.
Yes, I was going to say Ann Richards, you know, and beloved. She was beloved by Texans. And her daughter, Cecile Richards, was the president and leader of Planned Parenthood for many years.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I happened to look up, I was looking up things about Texas because of the, you know, the terrible flooding. And the last time Texas went blue in a presidential election was in 76 for Jimmy Carter. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So I guess I'm old because I didn't think it was that long ago.
It was a while. But Ann Richards was governor while, like, I remember when she was governor, and to me that, like, it just seems so so out of place that there would be somebody like a Democratic leader in Texas that was so popular. It just seems out of place for what I know of Texas now. So.
Well, it's interesting too. You brought up Texas, and I don't want to get too deep in this, but I do believe these cuts had a lot to do with a lot of these deaths. And I know when it comes to Republicans want to talking about things like this that they created, they always say that, you know, we shouldn't talk about this right now because it, you know, it just happened. You're politicizing these deaths. And it's like, Arvina, when do you talk about it?
I mean, we just have to get over that, honestly, and say, no, we are talking about this now because we are thinking about it now. And the other side does it too. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene put out some bogus legislation because she says that Democrats, like, messed with the weather or something and made, you know, did it deliberately. And like, that doesn't happen. But, you know, the cuts to FEMA are very likely to affect the response of folks, you know, or to this disaster in Texas. And I want to also shout out, we have an Emerge Texas as well. And I want to shout out the great work that they do trying to fight against that kind of Greg Abbott, Ted Cruz machine that is happening down there. So they're doing the same work that I do in Wisconsin, they're doing in Texas.
Yeah, I think Ted Cruz is still on vacation. He did not come back and see.
He's in Italy.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Arvina Martin and Jaleesa McKee, and I'm Robert Pilot, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. Oh!
Yeah, and we also want to say no to the hunts in Wisconsin, too, Jaleesa. Geez, it was a bloodbath the last time they did that, and I know there was a 250 limit or something like that, and it was supposed to be 2 weeks long, and they got their limit within 48 hours, and so we just pray for our relatives with tails and hooves and things
our
like that.
Four-legged relatives.
Exactly. Well, fish are our relatives too, and they have no legs.
They have tails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Good one. Hey, before we get back to Arvina Martin, I want to get a little update on what's going on with Jaleesa. And I know New Native Theater, which you've been a big part of these last few years as an actor and so proud Papa here, Jaji here. So go ahead, Jaleesa.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with our listeners, I am honored to speak to you about New Native Theater. I studied theater in undergrad, and so I have a degree in theater, but it wasn't until I started working with New Native Theater that I was able to do it at a professional level. And they have just really grown into just a beautiful, beautiful place to be a Native person and also an artist, specifically for me, an actor. So they're holding auditions right now. So I wanted to give them a specific shout out. Go to newnativetheater.org if you want to get more information, or visit their New Native Theater Facebook, or I would suggest their Instagram. So, but they're holding auditions, and it's just such a really neat thing because they showcase Native writers as well. So the plays that I've done for New Native Theater have been local, and actually somebody from Toronto to Native American writers. So really cool to put these things on and then just be a part of the community, and then have that overlap with also be around such great artists. And shout out to Rihanna Yazzie for founding the company back in 2008 and just the growth that has happened. I just had a meeting with them yesterday, and I just love the staff and, you know, everybody there at New Native Theater. Rihanna was there. You know, Rihanna's a very busy artist in her own career on top of founding and running New Native Theater. She's very successful in Hollywood and is all over the world really doing a lot of different things, specifically in the arts. So shout out to her.
Yeah, last time we had Arvina on, she had written her second episode of Dark Winds. And,
oh, sure.
We really love that. And Jaleesa, I know you have a couple questions to Arvina, if you want to ask her, grill Arvina. That's the grill. Well, we can call it a new segment.
Well, I'm glad that you gave me an opportunity to speak on New Native Theater, because again, it's really empowering for me to be around other Native women that are really just really diving into their passions and what Creator has given them. And you know, that really translates to you, Arvina, and your work. I know I think sometimes it can be very intimidating for us to seek our passions. And so I was just sort of curious on when maybe that moment kind of sparked where you're like, no, I'm going to go for it. I mean, I'm sure it was like a long journey as well, but you know, I've been encouraged to start writing lately, and my Jaji here, our host, was a big influence and has made me feel really great and inspired. But you know, it's just so interesting because sometimes we do hold back, and I wonder why. And I just wonder more about your journey and the wonderful things that you do for our community.
When I went to school, I always knew that I was going to, you know, use my education and experiences to help the community that supported me growing up. Mm-hmm. And that my community was so integral to my educational experience, you know, going through the title, I think now it's title seven. I'm not sure what the number is these days. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of support. I was helped with tutoring, particularly math. One of my tutors, my math tutors, was Wildberry's chef, Elena Terry, which was cool. I always knew that I was going to do something to help my community. And it wasn't, I worked in the state assembly in the sergeant at arms office. And like when I was first starting my career, I thought of it more as like finding, something to pay the bills while I figure out exactly what that was going to be. At the time I was like, oh, I'll go to law school. Mm-hmm. That did not happen. After I had my daughter and got a divorce, I was very much like, I need to, figure out what it is I'm doing. And it's got to, I wanted it to be something I liked. So I actually started with an internship with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as a communications intern. So I was... I did things like write sample letters to the editor. I did opposition research, kind of kept track of certain legislators that were in, especially those that were in more seats that were more closer. So not the super hyper Republican ones as much. Mm-hmm. And then the Act 10 protests started happening, and the recall Walker movement started, and I was asked if I would be the native outreach person to get word about the recall, to get signatures, to get buy-in from Native communities. And before I had my daughter, I was working in the Office of Admissions at UW-Madison as the Native recruiter. So I because I grew up here, I have connections mm-hmm. with different communities. My parents were both fairly were known in tribal communities, so if I would show up, they'd be like, who are you? And I'd be like, I'm Buck and Karen's daughter. And they'd be like, oh, okay. I had a certain amount of credibility. Although it's funny because my dad was a Republican before he passed and before all of this craziness happened. And I remember he worked for Tommy Thompson during the spearfishing crisis up, wow. During the 80s. And so I remember going to certain communities, particularly some of the Ojibwe communities, and they'd be like, you're Buck Martin's daughter and you're a Democrat? I'm like, yep. So it was kind of a little jumping off point. And it was, it was stuff that I would have volunteered to do anyways. So it was really, I'm really lucky that I get to do stuff that I really love to do and stuff that is actually helpful to yes. our community and stuff that is empowering. And I, I would even say that the work that you do is related. I mean, persisting and resisting takes so many forms. Art is absolutely one of those forms of resistance, and telling our stories in a way that is uniquely ours is so important and gets in and it inspires more Native people to follow their passions, but also, shows other folks that are not Native, kind of who we are and as contemporary human beings. And that work is profound. So I would absolutely say that working in the arts and in theater, telling stories is absolutely part of this resistance work that we all do.
Wow. Couldn't agree more. Wow. Very admirable. Well, thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Jaleesa. Great question. And Arvina, big peeny geeky. Thank you, you two ladies, for being on the show.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. On social media, President Trump issuing a statement of support for his Attorney General Pam Bondi. He is trying to stem fallout among his supporters from the administration's investigation of Jeffrey Epstein. ABC Selena Wang explains.
Trump's most loyal supporters erupting after the DOJ and FBI released a joint memo saying there is no client list. Sources tell ABC News Deputy FBI Director Dan Bongino is considering resigning after clashing with Attorney General Pam Bondi.
Today marks 1 year since the assassination attempt on then candidate Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, that left a man in the crowd dead. The president announced on social media there'll be 30% tariffs on goods from the European Union and Mexico beginning August 1st, citing fentanyl from Mexico and a trade deficit with Europe. And the recovery operations continue from the deadly flooding in central Texas.